Welcome to Deed & B College. In this lesson, we're building a rave pressure edit for a warehouse-style intro in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it with vocals as the main tension device. The idea is simple, but the execution is where the power lies. We're going to take a raw vocal phrase, cut it into small, menacing modules, and shape it so it feels like a serious D&B tune is about to hit a dark room. This is not about making the vocal glossy or oversized. It's about making it feel stretched, chopped, displaced, and slightly unstable, like it's coming out of a big PA system just before the drop locks in. That kind of vocal edit is useful for a lot of reasons. In D&B, vocals can humanize the intro, give the track identity early, and create rhythmic tension without eating up your low-end space. And technically, a vocal edit like this can either become a sharp, mix-ready intro tool, or it can turn into a muddy mess that fights the drums and blurs the bass entrance. So the goal here is to keep it tight, atmospheric, and rhythmically decisive. Start by choosing the right vocal source. Don't think about length first. Think about attitude. A short spoken phrase, a dramatic vowel, or a sharp consonant usually works better than a smooth long vocal line. Drag it into an audio track and trim away anything that doesn't earn its place. Keep the breath if it helps. Keep the room tone if it adds tension, but remove the dead weight. What you're listening for here is simple. Does the vocal have a strong front edge that can punch through drums, and does it contain a word or vowel that you can loop without it sounding cheesy? If the answer is no, move on. Don't force a polite vocal into a warehouse intro. You want a phrase that already has some bite. Once you've got the source, turn warp on and get it sitting to tempo. For sustained or tonal vocals, Complex Pro often gives the cleanest result. For more spoken material, beats or tones can work better depending on how much transient character you want to preserve. Lock it to the grid, then nudge the clip start so the first strong syllable lands exactly where you want it in the bar. A really useful D&B move is to let the vocal answer the drums instead of leading them. So instead of slamming right on the downbeat, try placing the phrase just after it, or on the offbeat before a snare. That creates pull. That creates pressure. Why this works in D&B is because the genre depends so much on fast rhythmic confidence. The vocal doesn't need to sound natural in a pop sense. It needs to feel intentional against the groove. Now build a basic processing chain. Keep it practical. Start with utility to control gain and, if needed, force the core vocal into mono. Then use EQA to high pass the low end, usually somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz, depending on the source. If it feels boxy, dip a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If it gets harsh, check the 2.5 to 5k Hz range. Then add a little compression, just enough to hold the phrase steady, and a touch of saturator to bring it closer and rougher. If the rhythm needs a tail, add a controlled echo or delay, but keep it filtered and restrained. The point here is not to make it huge yet. The point is to make it stable enough to edit and dense enough to survive layering with drums and atmospheres. If the vocal starts sounding papery after the high pass, ease off a bit. If it turns cloudy, cut some low mids instead of hacking away more top end. Once the source feels stable, slice it into pressure modules. This is where the vocal becomes an arrangement tool instead of just a sample. Split it into words, syllables, breaths, and vowel holds. Think in four-bar logic. For example, the first bar can be a dry or lightly treated hit. The second bar can answer with a chopped repeat or short delay. The third bar can stretch out a sustained phrase or filtered movement. The fourth bar can open up into a bit of negative space, or a stutter that pulls into the next section. What to listen for here is whether the edit creates anticipation between hits, and whether you can still feel the drum grid underneath it. If the vocal starts stepping on the groove, don't add more processing. Just reduce the number of hits. In this style, space is part of the impact. At this point, choose the flavor. You've basically got two strong directions. One is a rave call-out flavor, where the vocal stays more direct, more recognizable, and more forward in the mix. The other is a warehouse signal flavor, where the vocal gets darker, more filtered, more degraded, and more atmospheric. Both are valid. If the track needs crowd-facing identity, go with the first. If it needs dread and mystery, go with the second. A lot of the time, the best result is a blend of both, with the first half of the intro clearer and the later half more abstract. Now we get to the modulation. This is the part that makes the edit feel alive. Use auto filter, frequency shifter, reverb, or automation on delay and utility to create movement across the intro. A strong starting idea is to keep the intro darker and narrower at the start, then open it up over 4 or 8 bars, and give it one final snap or opening move before the drop. For example, You might start with a low pass or band pass that keeps the vocal trapped and claustrophobic, then gradually brighten it as the section develops. A tiny amount of frequency shifter can add an ease without turning it into a sci-fi effect. A short or medium reverb can place it in a room without washing out the groove. And if needed, automate width so the core stays focused early, then opens slightly as the drop approaches. What to listen for is whether the vocal feels like it's opening up with the arrangement, or whether the movement is just decoration. If it's not pushing tension forward, it's probably too much. In a warehouse intro, modulation should feel like pressure release, not a random effect pass. Now bring in your drums early. This is essential. A vocal that sounds amazing in solo can fall apart the moment the kick and snare enter. Drop in a sparse drum loop, a break edit, or even a sub pulse teaser and check how the vocal sits. In DNB, the relationship with the snare matters a lot. A vocal hit before the snare can create tension. A vocal hit directly on top of the snare can create clutter unless that clash is the point. If the vocal feels awkward against the drums, move it by a 16th, trim the tail, or simplify the phrase. Often the fix is not more FX. It's a better pocket. Now arrange the intro with bar-based logic. Give the vocal room to breathe over at least 8 bars. A strong warehouse intro might start with filtered fragments, then reveal a clearer phrase, then repeat or intensify it, then finish with a stripped-back final warning before the drop. That last bar is important. It should leave room for the snare pickup and make the drop feel inevitable. A very effective move is to let the final vocal phrase end early, then let the empty space do the work. That little bit of silence or near silence can hit harder than another layer of sound. In warehouse DNB, negative space before impact is often more powerful than a big riser. Once the structure is working, print the strongest moments to audio. This is a workflow move that pays off fast. When the vocal has personality, stop treating it like a raw sample and start treating it like arrangement material. Printed audio is easier to reverse, stutter, riskless, and shape into transitions. You can bounce a long tail, tuck it underneath a new bar, or reverse a phrase to create a subtle lift. That's a really good habit in Ableton Live 12. Keep one lane for decisions and one lane for sound. First, get the phrasing working. Then duplicate and process once the rhythm is right. Don't commit to heavy effects before the edit has proven itself. Now let's tighten the mix. The vocal should feel powerful, but it should not own the room. Keep the low end clean with your high pass. If the vocal is muddy, cut a little around 300 Hz. If it's harsh, ease back gently around 3 to 4.5 kHz. Make sure any delay or reverb returns are filtered so they don't blur the groove. And check the whole thing in mono. That mono check matters a lot. If the intro sounds exciting in stereo but collapses into a dull blob in mono, the width is in the wrong place. Keep the core vocal centered and narrow, and let the width live in the effects tail or separate layers. That keeps the intro strong on club systems and safer for playback. What to listen for at this stage is whether the vocal still reads clearly when mono is engaged, and whether the tension survives when the width is removed. If it doesn't, reduce the stereo spread and focus the effects around the edges, not the core. A couple of extra coaching points will help here. First, repetition is your friend, but repetition should feel like menace, not melody. In darker DNB, a short phrase repeated with small changes often hits harder than a big sun line. Second, a dry, centered vocal with a shadowy environment often feels heavier than a giant washed-out one. The contrast makes it feel more serious. And third, if you want movement, push it in the upper mids and intelligibility zone, not in the sub. That leaves your low end free for the drums and bass where it belongs. If you want to get even more dangerous with it, print a reverse tail into the final phrase, or split the phrase across two or three clips with tiny timing offsets so it feels like it's being thrown down a corridor. Just keep it controlled. If it starts sounding like a chorus effect or a flanger, you've gone too far for this style. So the whole workflow is this: choose a vocal with attitude, warp it cleanly, keep the core stable and mostly mono, trim it into small pressure modules, modulate it across the intro, test it against drums early, and keep the arrangement bar-based and DJ-friendly. That's how you make a vocal intro that feels like a warning signal coming out of a warehouse PA instead of a random sample pasted on top of a beat. If you want to push this further, build a 16-bar version with only one vocal sample, only stock Ableton devices, no more than 6 clips, and one printed or resampled version in the arrangement. Make sure it starts dark and filtered, becomes readable in the middle, and ends with a clean, tension-heavy leading to the drop. If you can hear the phrase structure without soloing it, if the final bar leaves room for the snare pickup, and if it still feels strong in mono, you've nailed it. That's the goal. Not a huge vocal, not an overworked effect chain, but a rhythmic, controlled, club-ready intro that builds pressure with intent. Keep it tight, keep it dark, and let the room feel the warning before the bass lands. Try the exercise, trust the phrasing, and build the kind of intro that makes the drop feel unavoidable.